Well, this is one of those Sundays, I don't know where this message is going to go. God has just been working on me in so many ways. So we could go on all kinds of rabbit trails with this one today. You ready for that? We love to have a lot of fun here at Bear Creek. And we love to just be with each other and be around each other. We're going to be talking today about finding God's strength and building other people up. Last week we learned that living strong means that we need the Lord, and we find strength in Him. He is our source. And this week we're going to learn that living strong means that we need each other, and God has made it so we are not left alone to do this life. The reality is it's difficult to be strong on an island when we are by ourselves and we're left alone. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you have been doing." We need one another, amen? We need the encouragement of one another. And let me just talk for just a few minutes about this word, ekklesia. It's a word that we find in the Bible. In fact, whenever you see the word church in the Bible, the word, the Greek word, is ekklesia. And ekklesia, it means the called out ones, the assembly of people, the assembly of believers who are called out, called for God's purpose. But here's the problem: the word church in our Bibles. And you can see this in just about every translation. It's a German word, actually, Kirche, and it means the Lord's house. And it refers more to a place of worship. And so if you ask Bible translators, most of them will say, this is a horrible translation for this word, ekklesia, okay? And let me assure you, it's this word church and what we've made it, a lot of times, is far from what God intends it to be. The German translation of our English Bible is just never correct. So ecclesia is the body of Christ, the people. So if you type the word church in Google, this is probably what you're going to see, this picture right here. This is the first image. And so the problem is that we've made the church, and we've come to this idea that when I say point to the church, if we're all standing outside, everybody will turn around and point to the building. And that's a problem. It's a problem. Because the church is God's people, the body of Christ. And so this is what you would find on Google, but this is what a church is. Go to the next picture. People coming together, sharing life, sharing the Word of God, talking about their faith, spending time with one another, building each other up. You know, in the Bible, there's 59 verses that uses the word or the term one another's. Love one another, build one another up, encourage one another, bear with the burdens of one another. And so go to the next picture. So really, a picture like this is really more of a picture of what church really is, all right? And so I'm just trying to shift our thinking. You know, I'm still going to use the word church, all right? I think we've kind of got that built up in ourselves. Let me share with you just a short passage before we get into our message today, or our passage today. In Matthew 16:15-18, Jesus is talking to Peter. He's talking to the disciples. And he says to Peter, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answers him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my ekklesia." On this rock, on this statement of faith that you've just made, I will build my church, it says in your Bibles, okay? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So if we read this passage and we get the idea that this building is what stands up against the gates of hell, it's wrong. What he's referring to with Peter is Peter makes this statement that you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon this statement that you just made, bless you, Peter. Because flesh and blood, man has not revealed that to you. Only the Father in heaven could possibly reveal that to you, Peter. And so I tell you, Peter, upon this statement that you have made, on this rock, I will build my people, my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay, this is important. So the church isn't, it's not a building, it's not an institution. I shared this a little bit yesterday because I've been reading a lot about it, about this, and thinking a lot about it over the last probably 6 months. But we just have to be careful about making it into something that it's not intended to be. What it's intended to be is a group of believers caring for one another, united under Christ, serving and blessing one another, bearing with the burdens of one another. So one of the unique things about an ecclesia is our love and our care for each other. In 1 John, or in John, I mean, chapter 13, it says, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's letting them know, I'm about to depart. And he says some really important things. Not that he always says important things, right? So, but he says some really profound things as he's about to depart. And he says in verse 34, a new covenant I give to you, that you love one another. And he's talking about believers. He's talking about his disciples. Look, you disciples, you need to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so God holds us to this. And what is he looking for? He's looking for God's people to love, to agape love. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. Love is a selfless, sacrificial act of service. It's an act of the will. It's not an emotion, okay? Agape love is an act of the will to serve sacrificially other people and serve sacrificially God. So here now we're in the real passage that we're going to go through today. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 15, if you want to go there and sort of hold your finger on that spot. Romans chapter 15. And here in the book of Romans, Paul is addressing a struggle with God's people in this particular church. And so Paul, he's writing this letter to a church in Rome, and he was always trying to do, and you'll see this, I'll share some verses for you in just a little bit, but he's always trying to eradicate division and false teaching in the church. And here he is right now as he's trying to solve a problem of division within the body of Christ. And I want you to catch a few things, but some of the believers in this particular gathering, this particular church in Rome, were former Jews, and they held to the law of Moses. But under the New Testament, when Jesus comes, He brings a new testament. He brings a new covenant, a new teaching. And many of those Mosaic dietary laws and holy days have gone away. Why? Because Jesus is the fulfillment of those. But there are people that are still holding to those things, and they expect others to hold to them, and so there's this friction in the church. And so Paul is encouraging the strong believers who know to be patient with those who are still wrestling with this issue. And if we go back to chapter 14, it says in chapter 14, 1, as for the one who is weak in faith, and he was calling those who were weak in faith the ones that were trying to hold to some of the Mosaic law of dieting, and he says, as for the ones who are weak in the faith, welcome him. but not to quarrel over opinions. Then we jump down to verse 19. He says, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. And so in other words, let's keep our eyes focused on what's going to build up the body of Christ. Let's keep our minds and our thoughts focused on that. In verse 20, he says, do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. See, these believers who were formerly Jews, they were trying to bring in some of these dietary laws into the church, and the more mature believers were getting angry at that. But he's saying, okay, mature believers, look, do not, over the issue of food, don't destroy the work of God. See, God's plan is to bring together a group of people who are uniquely different. And but when we come together, we are united under this banner of Christ. And you'll notice something. Let me share something with you. Okay, in our nation, we have a godly heritage in the United States. Our founding fathers, much of the law was written from biblical principles. And so because of that, we have a Christian heritage, all right? And we see the Christian heritage sort of slipping away today to secularism. And here's the huge danger of this, okay? Number one, the big danger is that we should all worship the God who created us, right? but number two is now we're no longer united under these principles, okay? And when you're not united under something, and if you're not united under the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you can't be united on that, under that, if you're not united under that, then these divisions are going to get out of hand, like we see in our country today, right? How things are becoming so divisive, it's because we can't agree on truth anymore. We can't come to agreement on truth anymore. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We can't come to agreement on that anymore in our nation. And have you ever noticed that God sends all kinds of people into the church, right? So we got one family that's like living like the Kardashians, right? And then we got another family that's living like an Amish family, all right? But even though they live in such extremes, we can still come together under the banner of Christ. Can I get an amen? We can still come together under the banner of Christ. Some are immature. Some are mature in the faith. Some have been in the church for a long time and have hardly grown an inch in their faith. Some have delved into the... And listen. The issue of maturity is not how long you've been attending church. The issue of maturity is how long you have sat at the Master's feet and developed a living relationship with Christ, okay? And so here Paul was, yesterday, let me share one more little story. Yesterday, we went to Beautiful Feet Ministries in Fort Worth. It's a ministry to the homeless. And we did music and shared a message, and I spoke to a guy afterwards, and he says, look, I've been living on the streets for about 5 years. I do have a mental health problem. I have schizophrenia. And he says, and I've been trying to go to church. He's like, but no one really wants me to come to their church. He says, I just think I'm too weird for them. And so, you know, I said, well, man, you can come to my church. We're all weird, so you're good. I said, man, listen. There is a place for you in God's church. And we need to make a way for people who are in situations like that, who are just think of the diversity of situations. In church, there's people that are just like us, and in church, there's people that are not at all like us. But we come under one banner, and that's Christ. This is what Paul's getting at. We are to be united. And so We are to be committed to Christ, and it's in him that we find our unity. And I'll tell you, the enemy is seeking to divide. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. And some of the ways that he looks to devour you is to keep you really busy and off track. Another way of destroying you is to get you to believe lies instead of truth and to live out a lie instead of living out God's truth. But another thing that he does is he sows seeds of discord within the body of Christ, okay? And we cannot allow that. And I'll tell you, I'm not preaching this because there's any kind of issue here at Bear Creek, but I am warning us that one day, look, as God continues to bless this church and grow this church, the enemy's going to come, okay? He's going to continue to sow seeds of discord. And I want us to be able to identify it when it comes. So we see this threat being warned about throughout the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians, there was human leaders that were causing division in the church. In the church of Galatian, it says in Galatians 5:15 that there was backbiting and devouring of one another. In Ephesus, the church of Ephesus had a problem with unity that the Apostle Paul spent a few chapters addressing. In the book of Philippians, two women were at odds with one another, and they asked people to come together and to help these two women reconcile. See, unity, restoration, reconciliation is extremely important in the body of Christ. We are a collection of people united under Christ. And so here's what Paul, he goes on to say, we who are strong, this is chapter 15, verse 1 in the book of Romans, and you'll see this up on the screen here. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And so here's a few things he says here. He says that the strong people build others up. Strong people build others up. The strong person always heals, always seeks to restore. The strong person is always doing what love requires, speaking the truth in love. And listen, you know, we have to speak the truth, okay? So when we talk about unity in the church, it doesn't mean that we just put up with anything. It means that we're seeking to be unified, but we have to address the lie and we have to address sin. And so this is important to the Lord, and Paul is addressing this. Maturity is not, again, not how many years you've been attending church. It's how long you have. It's the relationship that you have with the Master. And I love what Paul is doing here. He says, this is what a strong person does. And then he goes on and he says, and then he uses Christ as an example. You see how he did that in verse 3? For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And so Christ, who is the King of glory, he didn't seek his own. He didn't seek to please himself. He was looking toward the betterment of others. And so let me just stop here and just ask you this question. How important is it that you build other people up? Is that on your radar? You know, I mean, I was thinking this morning, you know, even a serial killer probably has encouraged somebody along the way. So I'm not just talking about just a encourager that does it once in a while. I'm talking about somebody who is consistent at encouraging other people in the faith. And one of the things that we've been talking about here is what does biblical fellowship look like? Well, here's what biblical fellowship looks like in the church, is when we're conversing and when we're interacting with one another, we're taking our conversations deeper so we can get to really know people and know each other, because the more you're known, the more you feel like you belong. Does that make sense? And so sometimes we get into conversation, we talk about the weather and sports, okay? And then sometimes it goes a little bit deeper to tier number two, okay? And we talk about family and things that are going on with family. But what's important to build this fellowship is to get into tier number three and talk about faith and our relationship with Christ and how we're doing and how we're growing and how God is impacting our lives. Testimonies are a great way of finding true ecclesia, finding true koinonia, which is fellowship. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So I guess the big question is, are you doing your part here? Like, are you taking time to build other people up? You know, I'll tell you, can you imagine how many people in this room are really struggling with friendships, struggling with issues of life? And I'll tell you, any of us will ever understand how important it is to think about other people, to encourage them, to build them up, the strong ones bearing with the ones that are feeling a little weak, that are struggling. And that's the picture I see of Bear Creek, and the way I see each of us just interacting with each other, loving on each other, becoming a family. You know, as we've been ministering to this family whose house has burned down, I met with them last week, and he just found a job this week, and so this is good news. It looks like they're getting closer to finding a home, and we'll continue to be praying for them. I want you to be thinking about them, but as we encourage one another, we have to also encourage those out in our community, okay? Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks today. Lord, we ask that that you'll speak to our hearts. You'll show us just what it means to be in step with your Spirit, to live as people who encourage one another, who build one another up. And Father, I pray for the person in this room who may not have a relationship with you, Lord, that they'll make it a priority to seek you, to seek to know you, to trust in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.